Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Tuesday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffee House and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffee House here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. It'd be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Pushmahata Landing.
Is it Pushmahata or Pushmataha?
Push. Matt, aha. But you, how do you want to do that?
Okay, I'm trying to remember the spelling of the Pushmataha. The
Pushmataha. Pushmataha.
Pushmataha.
Pushmataha Landing.
I'm almost 99% positive.
Well, it's Pushmataha. It's in the Delta. It's in Kahoma. So if it's not, our friend Lee Battelle will alert us if we were wrong.
Pushmataha, if this is the same one which I imagine it is, was a Choctaw chief.
Yes.
And they are, I think that that's like a legion or something of the Choctaw, the Mississippi Band of Choctaw Indians. I'm not 100% on that. I'm very, very, like, on the minuscule side of like my Choctaw history, mm-hmm. only because my mom worked for the Choctaw tribe for like 25, 30 years.
Okay.
But yeah. So there you go.
You're correct that he was a Choctaw chieftain. So.
I believe it's Pushmataha, but.
Well, again, we will find out if not. I'll contact Chief Cyrus Ben. He'll let us know.
Well, strangely, we might get a little something out of Lee Battelle here because I also believe that Pushmataha is from Noxubee County.
Oh, okay. Well, he's going to let us know.
Lee Battelle get us in on the Pushmataha history?
I bet he can. Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's just a click away at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. Whatever you're cooking out this weekend, nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. It's going to be a great weekend for cooking out here in Starkville, Mississippi State on the road. Gives me a chance to fire up the grill. Beef will probably be on the grill. And why not? Love to eat steaks, love to eat burgers, but I love to cook the big cuts of beef. Maybe we'll do something like that this weekend. And if you're looking for a great weeknight dinner, something simple, something easy, something delicious, beef is the key ingredient in a great, great weeknight dinner. Want to make something great for your family? Go to msbeef.org to get some great recipes. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends, the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you're looking for. Mother's Day is coming up. Father's Day won't be far behind that. Get something great for mom or dad at College Corner. Two locations to serve you in the Jackson area. Excuse me. Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flowood by the Half Shell, or you can shop online at collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler, Starkville's flagship restaurant for lunch, dinner, or Sunday brunch. The best meal in town always going to be at Restaurant Tyler. If you're going to be cooking out, if you're going to be cooking this weekend, you don't need to listen to what I'm about to say. But if you're not, you're thinking like, this is a weekend to go out to eat. I want to go get a great meal. And I'm going to tell you, go grab dinner at Restaurant Tyler. Go get a fantastic steak. Go get one of their awesome pasta dishes. Go to ask what the specials are. They always have nightly specials. If I'm going to Restaurant Tyler, and Robbie knows this, I'm getting the pork chop. That is the best pork chop in the state of Mississippi. I'll put it up against anybody's pork chop. It's so good. If you want to have a special occasion, you don't have to wait around for an anniversary or a promotion or anything like that. Just go to Restaurant Tyler. That can be the special occasion. Go get a great meal at Restaurant Tyler. Priority One Bank, 16 locations here to serve you throughout central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide and show you not only how they're going to help you invest and manage your money, they're going to show you how they're going to help you prepare for your future. Now more than ever, when you have questions about your money, you need answers. You want them on your schedule, not somebody else's. You want a bank that knows you the same way it knows your money. You want a bank that provides a level of service that you're only going to get at Priority One Bank. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. Oh, hey there, Robbie.
Hi.
How's sleeping going?
It's fine. Last two
Going
nights have been good.
good, good, good.
Only got up probably twice the last two nights during the
Okay.
night.
What's
The previous nights were like every hour and a half to 2 hours.
yeah.
And so I think we're getting into a
A little bit of a
routine.
routine.
Becky and I did, whenever we had Natty, we were very like regimented in what we did. Bath every night to kind of soothe her, some lotion, kind of dim the lights and get her into a mode of like it's time to go to bed. A bottle before the bed, make sure she's clean before bed, all that stuff. And she slept amazing. I mean, I would say she slept much better than Lady is sleeping, but Lady's been good.
Good.
But it's definitely like routine setting time. Like it's all about trying to get her on track, and we'll see how that goes. As we know, we all have like something in mind of how our kids are going to be, and it goes the opposite direction.
That is correct. So, yeah, when you have the second child, it's like, the first child, you're like, we gotta do it like this. We gotta do it
Oh
like
yeah.
that. Second child is like, I know what I'm doing. I'm good. She'll survive.
It took a while, like to I say a while, it's been a week, but it took me a few days to remember how to do certain
Yeah,
things.
I know exactly what you're
Because this
talking
has
about.
been 6 year gap.
Yeah. But it's like riding a bike, though. Once you do
It
it, you got
is
it.
like I feel like it took a while, and then I was like, okay, I'm good.
You're good. You're good. Well, good. Good to hear. Are you going to Pearl tomorrow?
No, I'm gonna have some high school baseball
I
or
got you. Well,
something
that's
like
where
that.
we're going to start the show today, is talking
It's
about
also
that.
just a complete crap show at Trustmark Park.
It is. It is.
It absolutely sucks covering those games
Yeah.
because you don't know if you're going to have a seat.
Sometimes you have a seat and they just take it from you.
Yeah, it happens.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you pretty much are on your own there, and it's not a good situation. So, yeah, I'm not, probably not.
All right. Well, that's where I want to start today, though, because, the Governor's Cup. It has meaning anyway, right? Mississippi State fans want to win that game. You want to have that trophy in the case. Chris Lemonis has been very successful in that game. I believe he's only lost once in the Governor's Cup. I could be wrong about that, but I'm pretty sure I'm right. Last year, that was a big win for State. You were talking about them trying to host, and there's always that debate of is it a conference game? How do they view it? And at the time, we thought that was a big win for State. I guess it ended up not really being, but it was a good win for the Bulldogs. I remember, just Chris Lemonis's, or I guess it was the Gary Henderson year where they had the walk-off win down there with Luke Alexander. So there's been some good moments in this. I feel like both of these teams are, I don't know that State's so much at a crossroads anymore. I feel like Ole Miss is, right? Ole Miss is either going to start turning their season back around or they're going to find themselves possibly in a bad position, right? They dropped down to 23rd in the poll this week. They've lost their last two series. They got Vanderbilt coming in this weekend, who's hot. That's a good baseball team. They're playing good baseball right now. And then they'll come to Starkville the week after that. They need to start piling up some wins. State, on the other hand, I don't know really what it means anymore. I don't know that there is a path forward unless they do something we're not expecting these last 4 weeks. But getting a win here would be a good start to all that. I looked at their RPI and their way their schedule breaks down today. State only has 8 wins total against quad one and quad two opponents this year. You think about Mississippi State playing in the SEC, that number should be a lot. It should just be higher. It should just be higher. They have fewer quad one and quad. Let me double check my math on this, but there were a number of mid-major teams with more quality wins than Mississippi State. And State's 43rd in the RPI right now. I'm sorry, they have six quad one and quad two wins. They're 4-13 against quad one. They're 2-2 against quad two. USM has 8 quad 1, quad two wins. Troy has 8. Northeastern has 8. Texas Rio Grande Valley has 8. UTSA has 7. Dallas Baptist has 13. Xavier has 9. Cal Poly has 8. UC Irvine has 10. So when we talk about State not having any good wins, I mean, we're not exaggerating there. So getting a win against an Ole Miss team that's currently 22nd in the RPI, that would be a neutral site win. That would be a big boost for Mississippi State. I feel like whoever wins this game, their season might continue to go the way they want it to go. Whoever loses this game, I feel like they're in. I feel like there's a little more weight on this Governor's Cup for whatever reason than maybe some in years past. And the fact that they're playing it before the SEC series is also big too, I think.
Yeah, and I mean, let's be honest, that Ole Miss is in much better shape.
No doubt.
Their thing right now is like, will they host or not though? Because I think they should easily get into the tournament, but
it should. But if they continue losing series, they could be in trouble.
Yeah, and they got Vanderbilt this weekend. Vanderbilt's playing really good baseball.
They finish with Vanderbilt, Oklahoma, Mississippi State, Auburn.
Yeah,
I mean if they lose three of the last four series,
Oklahoma is not a great matchup for them.
It's on the road too.
Ole Miss, I would say their strength is their hitting, and they didn't hit very well. Oklahoma is one of those teams that they get on base and they are just a real peel on the base paths.
Mm-hmm.
And Ole Miss has had three or four really, really good pitchers, but outside of that, I mean, they're giving up some runs. And you know, their Friday night has been a little bit of a strange phenomenon, because you have a guy on Friday night that you feel like is one of the best pitchers in college baseball, and he's just not really finding what he did that freshman year.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a really, really good reliever who hasn't been able to come in and pitch with a lead.
He's pitched 20 scoreless innings, but hasn't had the lead in any of them, I believe is the number.
Yeah.
That's an insane stat.
This would be a good time for Mississippi State to play mm-hmm. Ole Miss, but it's going to be, 3 weeks, because there is some uncertainty there. There's a push there to maybe move some things around. Anytime you got that going on, you have something unsettled. That's a good thing for you. And then there are other two. Yeah, who knows what's going to happen on Friday and Saturday? So I would say, like, I don't know what they are right now. I don't know if this is a top half of the league team or not. Mississippi State, they're bottom half of the league, no doubt. But this is a good opportunity here for the Bulldogs to kind of try to get something settled and get a win against a really good team too, and Ole Miss. It would be a really good midweek win and see what happens from there.
Who do you think State starts in this game? They have not announced it as of this moment. It's 1:18 on Monday. They've been going with Noah Sullivan in the midweek, but then last week went with McPherson to start the game. I could see him getting another start here.
I think it's probably going to be McPherson. I think that's what they were doing last week, is to try to prepare him for this. He basically essentially threw a bullpen
mm-hmm.
this weekend. I don't think he threw very, very many pitches. I'd have to go back and check, but I don't think he threw very many pitches that's really going to tax him for Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
I would imagine that's probably who they turn to. And maybe he can give you three or four innings, get you off to a good start, and then I imagine you're going to use some of your better bullpen guys they have in the past. I mean, that's both of these teams are going to want to win this game. It's a rivalry game. It's a big game for your RPI, especially for Mississippi State. I imagine you're going to see some of the better pitchers coming out of the bullpen for both of these teams.
Is this a game where you think Mississippi State treats it a little bit more like a weekend game and tries to get, because a lot of these midweek games, they've just been pitching a lot of guys. Granted, they've been able to do that because they've played some pretty weak competition since SEC play started in there. They've been able to pitch a lot of guys. But this feels like a game where you might really try to give McPherson a run to 4 or 5 innings to see what he can give you if he's pitching well.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. That's essentially what I just said, but you didn't listen to me.
I listened. I'm just trying to get an idea of what we're talking about here.
I'm just trying to make a point here, okay? I feel like you don't listen to me anymore. Now, you know what? I find it funny. I find it real funny.
You ever wonder who's the girl in this relationship? Just keep talking.
No, every game right now matters like immensely for Mississippi State. And again, this is a huge rivalry game and a game that everybody wants to win. You want to win specifically so that you can make Richard dress up in Mississippi State garb and potentially wear an M over S, ring a cowbell. I don't know. You need to win this game. So I feel like they're going to do whatever they have to do to get this win. And I don't think it's going to be necessarily a bullpen game either. I would like to see Ryan McPherson go out there and throw 4 or 5 innings. And if you can get 4 or 5 innings and he's only given up a run or two, that is absolutely huge. Put it to the bullpen, which has been really good this year, but was really bad this past weekend. And you see what happens from there. But I'm not going to put Mississippi State's bullpen, if I can help it, into a situation where they're throwing 7 or 8 innings. You know, that you really need to stretch this thing out here, try to get a really good start from McPherson or whoever it's going to be, and go from there. And we'll see what Ole Miss throws out there.
This is such an interesting week for Mississippi State. They're playing an Auburn team that's they're good, but they've been kind of up and down this year at times, right? And they had that great win, that great series with LSU, where they, they looked really, really good, and then they, they come back and they take on Texas and they get swept. So, I mean, they got state they what they were swept by Georgia, but then
And they swept LSU.
they were swept they swept. They swept LSU. They took 2 out of 3 from Alabama. They took 2 out of 3 from Vanderbilt, but they were swept by Georgia and swept by Texas. So they're a good team, but they're certainly not unbeatable. And I mean, it's to me, it's not that different than when State went to Alabama a couple weeks ago and were able to get that series win. I don't think anybody gave them a whole lot of opportunity to win that series before it started. I don't know that I would say they can get back on track. I just think it's going to be tough to make this a postseason team. But a 3-1 week where you win the Governor's Cup and then you go take a series from Auburn, you're kind of right back where you were beforehand. I think it's one of those things where if you reverse that, right? Let's say State had beaten Florida and then they beat Gov the win the Governor's Cup and then they lose a series at Auburn. I don't think we're saying, okay, well, they're out now, right? I think we're all like, well, it's tough to go on the road and win. That's a good Auburn team. It's losing to Florida. It's one of the, this is the same discussion we keep having over and over again with Mississippi State sports. It's not that we're mad about this, it's that we're mad about that happened in the past that's still bothering us. And that's what this is going to be all the next few weeks. It's going to be like, God, if they could have just beaten Florida, they would be in a much better spot.
It's the margin in this league is just so small. It's like we talked about with Mississippi State. If they just won a game against Texas and LSU, if you just win a game in those two series, how different are we talking? Think about Auburn. If they didn't get swept against Texas and Georgia, how much different does 11-7 look than 9-9? It's just so much different. The conversation's so much different. You're sitting here going, if Mississippi State doesn't get swept by LSU and Texas, and say you win the series against Florida, and you're sitting here looking like a team that now is trying to push to host. But the really good teams make sure those things don't happen. The really good teams don't get swept. They find ways to win the games, and Mississippi State wasn't able to do that. But Auburn is so weird to me. I know we'll preview them later in the week, but the up and down, like year by year trend that they have right now is so strange. I can't really fathom what's going on there. And it's kind of happening during the season too, especially in SEC play, as I sit here at 9-9. Like Butch Thompson, I think, is a really good coach, and we've seen him take them to, pretty much the highest of highs, but getting to Omaha, which this program just doesn't do. And then they'll come back and they'll be absolutely, terrible. And it's kind of crazy to see that. And maybe that's a transfer portal thing, and it's just kind of like a roster turnover thing. I don't know, but it is kind of strange how Auburn has been this up and down year by year.
And even that's even before the portal. I mean, They went to the World Series in 19, and I'm pretty sure the year before that they were awful in 18. And then I think in 21, the next that year they weren't great, but then they bounced back. They were really good in 20. So yeah. And I think part of that is just, Butch does a really good job, but Auburn is not a program that you just reload at. You do have to have some rebuild there. So
They
interesting.
missed the let's say went to they had been in the College World Series 4 times prior to Butch, and they had not been in 22 years.
Yeah, they went what in 98 or yeah, 90, 97. 97. That was the year four of the SEC, the six teams in the SEC West went to Omaha. State, LSU, Alabama, and Auburn all made it to Omaha that year.
Yep.
What an insane year that was for
That was
college
kind of
baseball.
Alabama's like time was
And they
that.
lost the national title game to LSU.
Yeah,
That's
like
what they had.
that run like in the 90s, like that was their time frame.
Roberto Vaz, what a stud that guy was.
Well, I would say because Butch, when he first got there, 23 wins. It was kind of a steady climb. It was
Yeah.
23 wins, then 37. They went to a regional. 43 went to a regional, in 18. So they actually did. They
Oh, we're
actually
good.
won.
Okay.
That was when they went to Gainesville. They had a chance to go to the College World Series
Okay.
in Gainesville. They lost. And then they went to the College World Series with a team that was actually worse. They kind of got hot.
Didn't they, wasn't that the year they beat North Carolina in the Super Regional like 17-1 or something? It was just some
Yes.
ridiculous game. Yeah.
25 wins in 21.
Yeah.
They were awful.
Awful.
And then they have 43 wins
Yeah. And
and
went to
go to
the
the
College
World
World
Series.
Series. Yeah.
Then they have 34 wins. And then last year, I think they were last in the
They were one of
SEC.
the worst teams in the SEC last year. They didn't even go to Hoover. So yeah.
It's just kind of
What a
like,
weird.
but
Yeah.
now that John Cohen's there, you can bet your bottom dollar that they're going to put all the resources they possibly can into being more consistent.
There you go. So, all right. Big week for Mississippi State baseball starts tonight as you're listening in Pearl. As Mississippi State and Ole Miss go head to head. No, like I said, no pitching matchup yet. But obviously, as soon as we know, we'll let you know. All right, let's move into the rest of the show. That's brought to you by our friends over at Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District and the Older Brother. Two great restaurants, two completely different restaurants. When you go to Two Brothers, it's more of the barbecue and the Southern food and the delicious sandwiches and tacos. Older Brother, they are all about the sandwich at the Older Brother. And they've got some. I tell you, they've added a couple things to the menu. I am a Philly cheesesteak aficionado, and yet I have not tried theirs yet. I can't ever get away from the croque monsieur. I've got to go. The next time I go, I've got to get the Philly cheesesteak. I got to do it.
It's just one of those deals, like when you go in there, like you have to will yourself to
Yes.
getting something different.
I
Like
have.
when I get in there, I
Yeah.
want to have the cheeseburger.
I'm like that at almost so many restaurants in this town where it's just like I always get the same thing. And like when I go to Tyler, it's blackened catfish, cheese grits, mac and cheese. I mean, I feel like it's an act of Congress to get me to change what I'm ordering there. So next time, don't let me, if we go together, don't let me order anything but the cheese. I want the cheesesteak next time. All
I will hold you accountable.
right, you're going to do that.
Yes.
Enjoy a great meal at two of our favorite restaurants, Two Brothers Smoked Meats and the Older Brother. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. That's what they've been doing for 50 years.
Did, brother.
When you need technology for your business, you need a new copier, printer, computer, laptop, mailing and information system. It's all right there at Advantage Business Systems. Give them a call today, and you can expect two things. You can expect a great piece of machinery at a great price, and you can also expect service after the sale. They're a Mississippi business. You're a Mississippi business. They're going to take care of you just like you are their neighbor. 601-362-9192 or visit them online, absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Next time you're here in Starkville, before you go to the game, make sure you go to Maroon & Co. Don't show up at Duty Noble Field, at Davis Wade Stadium, at the Hump, in that old beat-up polo. Go grab something new and exciting with the new logos, the state script, the interlocking, the M over S. That's what you want to be wearing. You can get it at Maroon and Co. Use our promo code to save you some money. Thunder 15 takes 15% off regular price. Some exclusions will apply. Next time you're in Starkville, before you go to the game, you need to go to Maroon and Co. All right. Earlier today, I spoke with Mississippi State head football coach Jeff Lebby. I want to say something about this man. What a machine. I asked him 12 questions. It took 11 minutes. That seems almost impossible. I got to be honest with you. But
he was really excited, huh?
Let's just say he was efficient. Well, he was efficient with his answers today. Let's go down to that interview. I talked earlier today with Mississippi State head football coach Jeff Lebby. It's been too long since we had Coach Jeff Lebby on Thunder and Lightning, and he has just finished up spring practice, so I assume he's got a lot to talk about with us. And, Coach, we talked about – the last time we had you on, we talked about some coaching cliches. I'll give you another one. You know, that adversity is where you learn the most. When you have tough times, that's when you learn the most about yourself. So I'll just ask you straight up, what did you learn about yourself last season when I know you went through a lot of adversity?
Yeah, I think in the toughest times, finding ways to create consistency, belief, and hope and enjoyment inside our walls was hard at times. And there was so much frustration in the moment. But at the end of the day, I knew that everybody inside our building was going to fit off of me. And so creating consistency, creating a similar message and finding ways to keep the belief and keep the fight, even though the result wasn't what we wanted. And as we went through that, there were some hard moments, but boy, it's going to make it feel even better when it gets flipped.
Another thing coaches like to say is control the controllables, you know, take care of what you can take care of. What's an uncontrollable that drives you crazy?
Yeah, I mean, an uncontrollable is maybe a call that you get or you don't get, you know, the ones that you don't get, just the ball bouncing the correct way, a batted ball, whatever it may be, the things that happen inside a game that they drive you crazy because of, and it's got a chance to be a game-changing play and it doesn't happen the way you want, but our execution was really in a really good place.
What's something, you know, you think about your first season as a head coach? You've been an offensive coordinator, been a quarterback's coach throughout your career. What's something you didn't know about being a head coach that you know now?
Yeah, I think because of the way I, you know, me being who I am, the way I am, incredibly relational, wanting the entire building to have great connection. Until you live it and you sit in the chair every single day, there's so many people that are inside these walls, and there's always something going on with somebody, and that's the reality of it. And you want to be able to have the opportunity to fix every problem, to be in the know with everything that goes on. When I realized that's impossible. And so having the ability to continue to empower people, supplementing the staff as we did this offseason in a couple of different ways, I think has been huge, and did learn some things as we move through that first calendar year that I think are going to be beneficial.
You mentioned your staff there. A lot of coaches having the kind of season you had last year would have made big changes. They would have, you know, cleaned out their assistant coaches and gone a different way. You decided to go with continuity. You didn't make a lot of changes. Why was continuity so important to you going into year two?
Yeah, I know it's the right thing. And I see how people operate. I know a good coach from one that's not. And so for me, having the ability to keep these guys here, give them the opportunity to be year two inside a system, get the roster the way we needed to, did some things in the offseason. John Cooper, our tight end coach, making him the run game coordinator. Anthony Tucker, making him the pass game coordinator. Both those guys have great familiarity inside the system, the scheme. And then obviously just supplementing the staff on the defensive side of the ball with some incredible experiences and guys that lived it. But our kids deserve to be year two in a system. That's all really State has been turnover and change. And our people need some continuity. They need some consistency. And we're going to like the result of that.
Did you bring in Phil Loadholt so you could have the tallest staff in America?
He helps that for sure. He does help that. But no, Phil, you know, I've talked about this. And again, great familiarity with him. We had been together for 6 years. I think the world of who he is as a person, but man, how he gets these guys to play every single day, to get these guys to practice the way they practice every single day, has been a pleasure having him back with me.
So obviously you have great relationships with the quarterbacks you've coached through the years. I mean, you got Matt Corral to come to Mississippi State and spend a day and talk good about Mississippi State. That lets you know what kind of relationship you have with him. It seems on the surface that you and Blake Shapen have a great relationship. What is it about Shapen that makes you and him work and click so well?
And there's great trust there. And, I've always said, the way that a guy plays when he's got the ball in his hands is, to me, a reflection of who he is as a person. And his loyalty, his toughness, his willingness to serve and lead is elite. And this is a guy that will put it on the line, for me, for our university, for his teammates. And that's what you have to be able to go do what we want to do. So we do. We've got a great relationship. I'm excited as heck for him to be able to continue to grow and get set up to go have a great year.
What was your reaction when you learned that Devon Booth was going to be able to give you another year?
Excitement. Excitement. Again, I think I talked about it earlier, but we talked nonstop late in the year last year. Man, if we just had this guy back for another year, boy, I wish we had him back. He was really just hitting his stride. He was a guy that got here late, in June for us last year, and now here he is again, year two of the system. Excited about what he's going to be able to get done for us.
When you look at your receiver room, you got a bunch of new faces. I mean, a bunch of new faces there. We got to see some of them on Saturday. It's obvious that speed was a priority for you this offseason. You went out and got guys who can get down the field and make big plays. When you're trying to recruit speed, do you want to speed at can you get speed at the consequence of something else? There are a lot of guys who can fat or fast. They can't catch. They can't run routes. How do you get guys who are fast but can also play the receiver position?
It's a fine line. And again, I think for us, the speed piece of it is a huge deal. That's who we've always wanted to recruit. That's who we've always been. Guys that have had incredible success inside our system have been guys that can really, really run. And so that there's no difference with, where we're at in that room right now. We upgraded in a great way. The foot speed in that room is upgraded, and that's going to be a huge advantage for us.
Every year, we talked about this last year. Every year in your system, there's one receiver who's 60 to 80 catches, 700, 800 yards, 8, 9, 10 touchdowns. You want to throw a name out there for me? I'll give you mine if you want.
Let me hear yours. I'll
I
see what
said
you.
Evans. I said Anthony Evans.
Yeah, Ant does. He's got a year. He's got an opportunity to have a big year. I do. I think Brennan's got the opportunity to have a big year. But I'm proud of, like, you look at J-Mo and his development and where he's at. You look at Aiden Williams. You look at Ricky Johnson. I mean, these guys had really, really good springs. And then you throw in Marcus and Jerron Glover. Again, I've talked a bunch about this spring, man. Our room right now is in a really good spot, and we've got a bunch of guys that are fighting to get better every single day, and a bunch of guys that are ready to go compete and fight to get it done.
You talked about this on Saturday after the spring game, that from a roster standpoint, defensively, you're way ahead of where you were a season ago. There's no question that you have more depth defensively than you had a season ago. My question would be, do you feel like you have the difference makers that you've got to have in the SEC to play defense, guys who can be a problem for opposing offensive coordinators?
Yeah, I think we've got a couple of pass rushers that have a chance to create some issues for the other side of the ball on some normal downs and then inside of third downs that we did not have a year ago. I don't think there's any doubt about that. I do think the athleticism that we have at the second level spots, talked a little bit about that with our Mike and our Dime, and the four guys that got a chance to have incredible impacts there. Their athleticism and the way they can run, to me, give us a chance again to go do what we want to do. We've got to continue to upgrade. We're not where we're gonna be. We're not where we want to be. But again, it is a process, and it's about taking the next step for us. And for us, that's being able to go play really good defense, and create some depth so that we have the ability to roll guys and play multiple guys instead of some of the things that we were had to do last year.
How difficult is it as a coach to get a guy in at this point? Spring practice is over. You don't get them on the field until it's time to start preseason camp. But to get a guy that you feel like, okay, we think we can get him in here in that amount of time and make him a contributor next year, how difficult is that?
Yeah, I think it's all about where he's coming from and then how much he played at the prior spot. If you get guys that have played a ton of snaps, then to me, that's going to give us a really solid tell that they're going to have the ability to get ready and go play. If you're taking somebody that's maybe been a backup hasn't played a ton, then to me, it's a lot harder to project that guy ready to go play week one. So that's why this period is critical. As we get into it, we want to have the ability to sign guys that have played a bunch of ball if we're counting on them being, starters for us.
You think about if you had been a head coach a decade ago, you come in year one, and really it's not until year four that people are saying, okay, he's got all his guys in there now. What is he going to be as coach? What's a time frame now as a head coach that you feel like, okay, I can get a program turned around in X years?
Yeah, I think year one's almost year zero now because of the turnover, the change, no continuity, and having the ability to then get in. And now here we are in our second year, but we are much closer to being able to have the guys that we want to have inside the building. And again, we're nowhere close to where we want to be, but we're in a much better spot and different spot than we were a year ago.
I think, with spring football coming to an end, I think about Coach Leach. He might have already been in the keys at this point of the year. When do you get a day off?
Yeah, I'll catch my breath after we get all these guys signed up and get through the rest of this week. And then, for the rest of the staff, they'll be on the road recruiting and through the middle of May. And so we'll catch our breath, once that really slows down. But it's constant for us right now.
Absolutely. Coach Jeff Lebby, really appreciate your time. I guess we'll talk to you again next in Atlanta at SEC Media Days. Looking forward to that conversation already. Have a good one. Get some time off. Get a little rest. I know it's been a grind.
Hey, will do it. Appreciate it. Hail State.
So one of the things I asked him about is the thing you and I have been talking about here on this show about difference makers on the defensive side of the ball. And he says he feels like they've got some guys in the linebacker room, which you asked him about, and we talked about that on Monday's show. He feels like he's got some guys there that can be difference makers for him. And I'll be honest with you, linebacker is a spot where if you've got difference makers, they can make things easier for you because those are the guys who are getting after the quarterback for the most part. So that was the biggest thing for State, I think, a season ago. When we look back at that, and you're talking about in like week 8 and 9 and 10, Calvin Dinkins still leading the team in sacks, despite the fact that he hadn't played since week one. That's an embarrassing statistic. I do think that this year State will be better at getting to the quarterback.
Yeah, and I mean that's by default. I mean they had what eight or 10 sacks on the year. I mean that is, oh my Lord! Like
Doesn't
some of
make
the numbers,
sense.
like that there was like 8 or 9 guys in the league that had more sacks than Mississippi State's entire team. And it wasn't that they were just whiffing back there. I mean they weren't getting
Weren't
pressure.
getting pressure, yeah.
And it's a linebacker issue. It was a defensive line issue. And you're right. I think they will be significantly better. I don't think just better. I think they will be significantly better. And I'm already setting that expectation because I think that this unit will be deeper and more talented, and it'll show. And like I said, it does not going to take much. I mean, they might can get it with some effort in the first 3 or 4 games with how bad they were last year. But I do like the linebackers this year. I really like Jalen Smith a lot. I think Brandon Jennings is set to take a step forward. And I think that they've got some guys in that room that are going to be able to get to the quarterback. They're going to be able to, get in there and hit the hole and stop a running back in his tracks. I think it's going to be a better front six, front seven than what we saw last year. And the linebackers are going to be a big part of that. I think Zachary Tillman's going to take a huge jump forward this year. We've seen those flashes, and I feel like we talked about that a lot with John Lewis last year. I don't want that to scare people away. I think Zachary Tillman is a better player,
I agree with that.
and a more instinctual player, and a guy that brings it a little more play by play than what John Lewis did. So I think the jump that we thought John Lewis could make this year, I think that could go to Zachary Tillman this year. I think he really could do that.
On the other side of the ball, I did ask him, I talked to him about the receiver, right? There's always a receiver that has these numbers. And he said he wanted to hear my prediction. And I told him it was Anthony Evans. He liked him, but he also mentioned Brennan Thompson by name as the guy who could be that 60, 70 catch, 800-yard guy. And I also, talked to him about, getting faster at the wide receiver position, and he talked about the value of that. I do think that regardless of who the quarterback is, you're going to see State try to push the ball down the field a little bit more in the vertical passing game if their offensive line can provide for that protection.
I think the offensive line is the big question. I think that's going to answer a lot of their concerns is whether or not they can block. And that's not just the passing game, that's the running attack too. Can they open up holes for this running game? I didn't think they did that the other day. And it's like we talked about on Monday, how much of that is the offensive line and how much of that is the improved defensive line and linebackers? I don't know that. So the offensive line's definitely got to get better. And I think I'm just not like too overly concerned about receivers. I think receivers have found ways in this offense, whether they're super talented or not, to make plays and to move the chains and to put up big numbers. I think that's been a constant under Jeff Lebby, no matter where he's been. So I'm not really concerned about that as much as I am the offensive line.
Well,
I get the offensive line fixed in the portal and in the offseason or whatever. I really believe that things are going to come together.
I think if you can block, most of the time you can find somebody who'll catch the ball. But if
Yeah.
you can't block, it doesn't make any difference.
Well, because here's the thing, like you need a quarterback that's able to move the pocket a little bit, but the more time you give the quarterback, the more opportunities that opens up for your receivers. How many times have we seen plays break down and a receiver, get open and make a play? Because for defensive backs, I mean, the goal is to be able to kind of cover your guy for 3 or 4 seconds until the play is ended or the ball is in the air, you're able to knock it away. If you give your receiver a chance to kind of improvise with the quarterback, those two guys have a connection that you don't have with either of those two players as a defensive back. The quarterback and the receiver have a bond together. They know where the eyes are. They know where the ball is going. They can make a play that the defensive back really doesn't knows coming. So the offensive line being able to block and being able to keep the quarterback upright for longer than 3 seconds, I think is huge. And that can create a lot of plays for Mississippi State. To me, the biggest question mark for this offense is the play up front. And I think Jeff Lebby would
100%.
agree with that.
He does,
He's
yes.
about it all spring.
Yeah. We'll see where it takes us. The other thing I'm fascinated by is you got no more practice, right? So whoever these guys bring in, you better be damn confident in your evaluation that they can play, because the next time you see them, it's going to be for real. It's going to be, we're in preseason, we're in August, and the first game is 4 weeks away. So going to be an interesting couple of weeks here with this portal as it wraps up for Mississippi State. And Lebby addressed that off when we got done with the interviews. I'm headed into meetings, and we're still doing portal stuff this week. I thought if you listen to the interview, I said, at this time, your Mike Leach would have already been in the Keys. He'd already been headed out the door. But I know that you're still in there, got a lot of work to do. So,
They have an offensive line on campus right now, Blake Steen
yeah,
from Virginia.
there you
So
go.
big, big
Meeting.
week. I don't know. He is one of the higher rated guards in this transfer portal class right now. I don't know how good he is.
You
Some of the
just know
guards.
that he's played at a power school.
Right. It's just good to add. I think that's the thing with like we have to get across is. It's going to be tough to find guys in the spring portal that are going to be like huge impact all conference players. The goal, what you're wanting to do right now is add as many talented, experienced players to your room as possible and let the chips fall and the competition play out the best that it can. And so that's what you're wanting to do here. You want to add as many, I mean, you went out there and you got the kid from Stanford and you got these other guys. And you're trying to get a guy from Virginia and other players like that, you want to add as many guys in there. And usually competition kind of brings the best out of people. And if it doesn't, then it separates the men from the boys. So the more people you can get in that room to create that competition, the better. Bringing in a guy that has Power Four starting experience can only make that room better, I would imagine.
Agreed. All right. Tomorrow's the rumblings. Get the questions in and we will answer them. Talk to you guys tomorrow. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk, Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.